when I did kill my first animal, I cried, and I think very shortly after that, I was grinning from ear to ear.
From ancient times, mankind has hunted.
In the belief systems of Arctic peoples generally, seals give themselves to humans to convert into meat, and humans are recognizing that and constantly respecting it.
BBC Radio 4 explores the effects on hunted and hunter.
Still somewhere within me, I may have that hunter instinct. That needs to be fulfilled.
There are hunters who don't like to kill animals. There are hunters who stop hunting because they can't stand to do it anymore.
A three-part nature special, Hunting, begins this evening at 9 o'clock.
Now on Radio 4, a show that needs no introduction. It's everybody's favourite.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel gaze. At the piano is Colin Sell and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today amidst the contemporary splendour of Milton Keynes. The town was founded in 1967 and grew steadily into a municipal borough until in 1997 the council celebrated their 30th anniversary by applying for unitary authority status. They certainly know how to have a good time here. The name Milton Keynes has an interesting derivation, many believing it to be a tribute to John Milton, who wrote the trilogy comprising Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, and in his advanced years, Paradise, I know I left it here somewhere. But Milton suffered for his work, his eyesight eventually failing him completely. He would doubtless have been proud of what the town planners achieved. With its broad avenues and boulevards laid in grid pattern, Milton Keynes is often mistaken for New York. Remarkably, there's no record of New York ever having been mistaken for Milton Keynes. However, the local townsfolk were nonetheless delighted when the French government presented them with a huge statue of a woman holding a torch in celebration of Milton Keynes's victory in the War of Independence. And sent a bemused New York City corporation a small herd of concrete cows. To mark their application for unitary authority status. It would be a mistake to think that Milton Keynes today can offer nothing with a history dating further back than the 1960s. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Phil Jupiters. Sadly, our usual scorer, Samantha, can't be with us today. She's on a language exchange in southern Spain, where she's... Yes, she's in southern Spain right now, where she's hoping to pick up a little Andalusian and enjoy the local tongue. So please welcome... Please welcome in her place the delightful Sven. Okay, teams, on with the games. As our special guest today is Phil Jupiters, we all agreed it would be a terrible waste if we didn't bother to come up with a new round to demonstrate his unique talent. Still, there you are. That's life. So let's start with the game all about song lyrics. I shall provide the teams with the first part of a song lyric, which I'll ask them to complete. And Barry, you can start. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, each one she passes goes...
Big issue.
Phil, how about this? I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown, and everybody says he is...
Not really ideal for undercover work.
Tim, yours is, I've got to leave old Durham Town, I've got to leave old Durham Town, I've got to leave old Durham Town.
Damn, I've missed three buses now.
Graham, how about this? Hello, Dolly. Well, hello, Dolly. It's so nice to...
meet a sheep that understands.
Okay, well now, here are three for anybody to complete. A, you're adorable. B, you're so beautiful. C, you're a...
sadly, there we have to leave the Tourette Syndrome male voice choir.
Here's one. When I was young, my father said, son, I have something to say, and what he told me I'll never forget until my dying day. He said...
Luke. I
Here's
know
another one.
What you're getting for Christmas. I felt your presence.
And finally, how about this? Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue.
Bringing to a total 7 new kits from Manchester United.
Okay, the teams are going to sing for us now because it's the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. So pay attention, teams. I'll only explain this once. In fact, you may care to take notes. By the way, when I say notes, I mean small aid memoir, not the series of graphic signs on a stave that represent a musical sound. Although now I come to think of it, those kind of notes do come into this, so in fact you may care to take notes about notes. That's musical notes, of course, not bank notes. That's not to say you shouldn't care about bank notes as well. Don't just go stuffing them in the mattress. But I can see by the look on your faces, teams, you're thinking even now, should I opt for one of the new telebanking accounts or stick with a traditional building society? And what about ISAs, TESAs, PEPs and unit trust bonds? Well, how the hell should I know? I'm not Vincent bloody Duggleby. So just try and concentrate for once and sing one song to the tune of another. And I better warn you, teams, this isn't easy. You'll need the concentration of a chess grandmaster to overcome the distraction caused by the piano accompaniment of Colin Sell. Barry, I'd like you to start by singing the words of When I'm Cleaning Windows to the tune of the British Grenadiers.
When I go cleaning windows to earn an honest bob for a nosy Parker, it's an interesting job. Now it's a job that just suits me. A window cleaner you would be if you can see what I can see when I'm cleaning windows. Turned out nice again.
Okay. Tim, now, would you please sing the words of I Am the Walrus to the tune of Dvorak's Humoresque?
I am he as you are, he as you are me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun. See how they fly, I'm crying, sitting on a cornflake, waiting for the van to come. Corporation T-shirt. Stupid bloody Tuesday man, you've been a naughty boy, you let your face go long. I'm an Eggman, they are the Eggmen. I am the walrus, goo goo goo, jubilster, city policeman, sitting pretty little policeman in a row.
Okay, your turn, Phil. Would you please sing the words of the theme from Shaft to the tune of... to the tune of Andrew Lloyd Webber's lovely Memory.
Shaft, who's the black private dick? That's a sex machine to all the chicks. Shaft, you're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother man? Shaft, can you dig it? Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about?
Shaft!
Shaft, right on. You see this cat? Shaft is a bad mother.
shut your mouth.
Gosh. Finally, Graham, would you please sing the words of Ain't Gonna Bump No More With No Big Fat Woman? To the tune of Jerusalem.
Three nights ago, I was at a disco. Man, I wanted to bump, I was raring to go. And this big fat woman bumped me on the floor. She was raring to go, that chick was raring to go. Then she did a dip, almost broke my hip. She was getting down, that chick was getting down. She wanted to bump some more, but I told her no. You done knocked me down, once you done knocked me down once.
Right, we move on to a new game now, which we borrowed from that television classic, The Generation Game. And if it proves only half as fresh and entertaining as the original, we're in big trouble. The teams will watch a selection of items on a conveyor belt, which they should attempt to remember later. Thus will be created all the excitement of an airport baggage reclaim. After the items have passed by teams, you will have 60 seconds to recall as many as possible. It says here, Colin Sell will entertain with some light backing music. Okay, Barry and Graham, your items were all found in the Radio 4 Lost Property Department, and they're coming by on the conveyor belt now.
Transfers beautifully to radio, doesn't it?
Right now, Barry and Graham, let's see how many of them you can remember.
There was Colin Sell at the piano.
Alistair Cook's jump leads.
Prue Forrest from The Archers.
Anthony Clare's dog's lead. He's not allowed on the couch, you know.
There was Melvin Bragg's credibility. Still... still unclaimed.
Oh, my God, James Boyle in a bag. Oh, no.
There was a woolly carp. Sort of cuddly coy.
Didn't they do well? Okay, your turn now, Tim and Phil. Your items have been specially selected from Anne Widdecombe's handbag. They'll be passing you on the conveyor belt now.
Remember Semprini? He was as boring as this. It was Anne Widdecombe's handbag.
Tim and Phil, what can you remember?
Oh, cuddly toy?
Yeah.
No, that's William Hague. Oh, there's a stick of lipstick, not to be used after March 1963. Oh.
It was a bottle of perfume. It was Opposition for Women by Calvin Klein.
Oh, look, this, it's a wooden stake. What's it say? In case of Michael Howard, break glass.
It's a pudding basin.
Oh, look at this. Look, it's a Sue Ryder loyalty card.
Oh. And this is a very odd one. This is a tour itinerary for the Crankies.
Now, teams, browsing in my local bookshop recently, I noticed a new title called The Almost Complete I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which looks unbeatable value at only $9.99. And I got to thinking that with the growth of the Internet as a provider of intellectual stimulus, there's a real danger that such traditional books will go out of fashion. There are still occasions when only a real substantial volume by an author such as Jeffrey Archer will do. Try propping up a wonky table leg with a Pentium processor. And personally, I enjoy nothing better than being tucked up in bed getting stuck into Beryl Bainbridge. With the promotion of book reading for pleasure very much in mind, we're going to play a game called Opening Lines. Earlier, I provided the teams with a brief resume of a book title, and from that information, they've written what they think might be the opening lines. Points will be awarded for technical accuracy, literary impression, and spilling. The book is You Won't Believe This But. No, not the Vanessa Feltz story. It's in fact the autobiography of our own Barry Cryer. To give you some assistance in imagining how Barry might have started his work, here's how he modestly describes it on the jacket cover. In this highly entertaining look at a career spanning stand-up days at the Windmill Theatre in the 50s, to his cult status with today's young audience, Barry brings together a wealth of showbiz anecdotes, revealing his world at the forefront of British comedy. Okay, teams, your suggestion, please, for the first line to Barry's book. Phil, what have you got?
It was the best of haircuts. It was the worst of
These two nuns and a Scotsman walked into a pub. And I thought, hey, what a great idea for a career. Going into pubs.
It all began at the Algonquin Hotel. I was entertaining Dorothy Parker, James Thurber, Cecil B. DeMille and Orson Welles with my latest funny joke. Suddenly Franklin Delano Roosevelt asked if I'd ever thought of getting a job on the wireless. I set off at once, but I shall never forget the happy, smiling faces at that famous round table as I left.
You've heard all those suggestions, audience. Would you please now vote for whichever one you think is the real ending? Vote now.
Now, that does surprise me. Yeah, no.
And if you'd like to know whether or not you're right, please feel free to buy the book. The whole of our next section is devoted to an in-depth analysis of great British sporting achievement. Did you enjoy? Our resident trainer, Sven, has been out and about in action and this morning found himself a little stiff from badminton. So what... So while they're busy, I'd like you please to suggest ways to improve our British sporting record, either by modifying existing sports or devising some new ones. Graham, will you start, please?
Well, we could have the 100 centimetres dash, because Linford Christie could break the tape without leaving the starting place.
Tim, drag racing. Our contestants will be Lily Savage and Barbara Cartland.
Barry.
Underarm javelin.
Girls, it really works.
Wouldn't he bury Cryer in his bathroom with his underarm javelin?
As he calls it.
Phil.
You should give a medal to the first team home at the Olympics.
Boxing to include other forms of packaging.
If you have had 9 medals or less queue at the Olympics.
Oh, by the way, a word of sympathy for our English women's badminton team, for whom this year has been all shuttle and no fun at all.
On which note, surprise, surprise, it's time for a perennial favourite, Cheddar Gorge. As is so obviously implied by that title, each player must say one word at a time to construct a proper sentence. English is a fascinating language containing many anomalies, including the redundant G in the word gnat, the unused K in knowledge, and the silent P in swimming baths. And Earl Spencer insists that his stately home, Althorp, is pronounced Althrop. What a load of carp. So watch your grammar, teams. The double negative is a complete no-no. The object is not to complete the sentence, so if you hear this, it means a full stop has been reached, whereas if you hear this, it means the continuity announcer has been at the Bacardi and Coke again. Okay, teams, the subject of your sentence is a fan letter to Nicholas Parsons. Tim, will you start, please?
Dear
Nicholas
Parsons,
you
may
not
be
the
funniest
of
people
on
the
current
entertainment
scene,
comma,
but
I
think
that
you
have
got
a
real grasp yet.
Sometimes,
almost
occasionally,
extraordinarily
yet.
In
some
respects,
Nicholas,
ooh, as
much
fun
as
the
others
seem
to
have
thought
it
must
be
within
the
grounds
of
a
large
and
grandiose
country
or
alternatively
in
a
town
not
far
from
the
centre
of
It's time now for a musical diversion called Swanee Kazoo, where the teams combine the soothing trill of the Swanee whistle with the guttural rasp of the kazoo. We should pause to thank those people who devote themselves to improving our lives with unlikely combinations. The tea lady, who adds dried leaves to boiled water and makes us a refreshing drink. The chef, who adds celery to walnuts and makes us a Waldorf salad. And the producer, who adds David Starkey to a radio discussion and makes us switch off. The teams will be accompanied to the piano by Colin Sell. Now, listeners will be surprised to hear that pop legend Cliff Richard once insisted that Colin play in the shadows. But then he's not a pretty sight in broad daylight. We'll start with you, Barry and Graham. Your song is The Blue Danube, and it's to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Graham Garden on the Swanee whistle. Your turn now, Tim and Phil. Your song is the Beatles' classic Twist and Shout, and it's to feature Phil Jupitus on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee whistle.
Twist
I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but it's just time to squeeze in the music lover's ball. Sven has to nip off now as he's playing the trumpet for the Beverly Sisters. They chose him because his impressive horn reminded them of the one on their little donkey. While he's gone, teams, while he's gone, I'd like you please to announce the late arrivals at a ball for music lovers and the like. Graham, will you start, please?
Will you welcome, please, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Net Solo and their daughter, Clary Net Solo.
Will you please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Uendo and their none-too-bright son, the dim Ian Uendo. Thank you, Ian.
And I'm delighted to announce that the Rackers family have arrived. I can see Pa Rackers there and Baby Rackers. And here she is, Mrs. Rackers.
The depressed tenor, Flacido Domingo.
And a big welcome, please, for Mr. and Mrs. Six Trombones and their son, Zebedee Six Trombones.
Very, very excited now. Kazoo should arrive. But Bob Streddy and his enormous family there, I can't really see all they are, so I'll just put them down here as Streddy Various.
The aforementioned Domingo is here with Carreras and Pavarotti and Mohammed El Fayed. They do an act called Three Tenors and a Brown Envelope.
And here comes Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, not another Lloyd Webber musical. And their son, Gordon Bennett.
Will you welcome, please, from Sweden?
From Sweden?
Yes, from Sweden. All the way, please.
Yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Knight of the Proms, yes. And their son, Lars, yes. Knight of the Proms. Yes.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the computer-generated dinosaur of time gobbles up the license fee of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Sven, myself, and the good people of Milton Keynes, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Phil Jupiters have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.
Now here's a chance to get even closer to your wireless by becoming an audience member of the radio quiz Wireless Wise, a special seasonal edition of which is being recorded tomorrow evening in central London. It's a needle match between crack teams from radios 2 and 4, featuring James Naughty and Jenny Murray, versus Ed Stewart and Sarah Kennedy. Tickets are free, so if you'd like to go along, please ring 08700 100 400 now. That's 08700 100 400 for free tickets for Wireless Wise in central London tomorrow night. John Peel brings his own brand of humour to the airwaves tonight with an insight into the world of bikers and the shock revelation that they don't have babies for breakfast. There'll be some thoughts on the unrelenting nature of fun from the self-confessed miserabilist Michelle Hansen, and Kim River will be trying to come to terms with the loss of her dolls, even though she's all grown up. Stories about dentures, allotments, and a selection of useful proverbs. Home truths at 11 o'clock tonight. In a couple of minutes after the news, we're off to Ambridge, where Eddie is being creative with the truth.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 7 o'clock. The Conservative Party has withdrawn the whip from Lord Archer, following his admission that he asked a friend to give a false alibi in a libel trial. Mr. Archer, who stepped down as the Conservative candidate to be Mayor of London, is also to be investigated by the Tory party's Ethics Committee, a move ordered by William Hague, who made clear that Lord Archer's political future was over.
I think this is it. I think that is the end of politics for him, which is very sad in many ways, but I'm afraid it is necessary. And I want everybody in this party and all other parties to know that that is how it's going to be in politics. That's certainly how it's going to be in the Conservative Party. People who behave in that way are going to be out.
Britain is sending an ambassador to Libya for the first time in more than 15 years.
Full diplomatic relations are being restored after the Libyans paid compensation to the family of the murdered London policewoman, Yvonne Fletcher. The Northern Ireland Secretary...